Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Kaiju Carnage. I am your host, Cal the Kaiju Guy. So, what's up, everyone? I hope everybody's doing well on this Sunday morning. Before I get started, I would like to apologize for not putting out my episode on my usual Saturday morning. I've had a pretty eventful week from the last time you guys, the last time I spoke to you guys. We had a death in the family, and, you know, so we had the, it was kind of a double thing. Like, we had a death in the family, and so we had a, you know, the service and all of that to go to. But then also, yesterday was my granny turned, I believe it was 87 years old, and so we had like a big party, like get together for her and all of that. And you know, just with everything else that was going on with everything that happened and all that, like it was just, you know, it was busy. And so whenever yesterday morning rolled around, you know, going like getting ready for the powwow for my granny, and then still dealing with the loss that we had, and all that. And then Emily, you know, she was out and about in the morning getting ready for work, and she didn't leave until about 10:30, 11 o'clock or something like that. And I was mentally drained. I didn't have it in me to do an episode. So I apologize for that, but here we are. Sunday morning, and I'm going to be covering the final entry in a trilogy of films that I am particularly fond of, and it is The Rebirth of Mothra 3 that came out in 1998. Now, I've looked up the reception multiple times for The Rebirth of Mothra, the whole trilogy, and the fan base appears to be split down the middle on whether they like them or whether they don't like them. And that's something that has always kind of made me scratch my head, because I think that all three of them are pretty solid movies. Two, you know, I could take or leave two, you know, over certain things. But the original, I hold the original Rebirth of Mothra in very high regard, and I consider it to be one of my favorite Toho-made kaiju films. Rebirth of Mothra 2, you know, it's okay. I like it all right. It's not something that I really go out of my way of to watch very often or anything like that, but I think it's a solid movie. And then this one, I believe, was a pretty solid movie. There are things about it that I'm not super, super keen on, and I'll get to that later on in the episode. But I really, really enjoy the Rebirth of Mothra trilogy. I think they get, I don't want to say hate. Hate is a little bit too strong of a word to describe it, but I do think that they get a little bit more hate than what they deserve. I love the design of Leo Mothra, or Mothra Leo, and his various forms and, you know, different designs that he's had and all of that. And here we have, he goes up against my boy, my favorite Toho-created kaiju, none other than King Ghidorah. Mind you, a different version of King Ghidorah. Though he shares the same name of King Ghidorah, but he is pretty much a revamped / rebooted version of King Ghidorah. Kind of in the same regard that 1991's King Ghidorah was. They changed his origin and all that from what everyone was used to in the Showa era and all of that stuff, but kept the moniker of King Ghidorah. Now, I've never really looked to see, canon-wise, like if the Rebirth of Mothra falls into the same canon as the Heisei series of Godzilla films. And the reason that I say that is because if it is canon to the Godzilla Heisei series, then the Heisei era has two King Ghidorahs in its timeline. It has the one that Godzilla went up against in 1991, and then it has the one that Mothra Leo goes up against in this film. I believe I had read one time that they're not connected to each other. Like it is a complete like standalone trilogy and all that. So I honestly can't remember if that is the case or not. But yeah. Like we got Mothra Leo going up against King Ghidorah, and I really like this version of King Ghidorah. I like the way he looks. I love the design of him. Yeah, he's pretty good. Now, I don't have a whole terrible lot of information to give on this film. Like it's just one of those ones to where not a whole lot of production stuff is out there, roundabout, just out there. And so I've compiled my information from various websites and things like that. Some of it is just from regular old Wikipedia. Some of it is from IMDb. Some of it is from Wikizilla, and then a few other little articles and things like that that I read, like from certain movie reviews and all of that kind of stuff. A lot of what I'm about to say, I could not actually verify if it's true. I would read something that's like, oh, and in an interview, this was stated or whatever. And I'm like, okay, let me see if I could find that interview. And I would look and look and look, and I could not find the interview anywhere. And so, I tend to take things like that with a grain of salt, where it's like, especially on sites like Wikipedia and things like that, where people can get in and edit and just add things that they want and all that kind of stuff. Like, I've always been kind of skeptical when it's like, in an interview, this was said, and I cannot find anything about it to verify it or anything like that. So, I like to think that everything I'm about to tell you guys is true, but, take it with a grain of salt. It might be off a little bit or something like that, who knows? And because when it comes to compiling certain information and all of that, I mean, you might have the director that does an interview that says certain things. Well, then if during that interview, if the translation is wrong, then somebody else can report that as something else. And then if someone else captures that and puts it on like Wikipedia or something like that, they could leave out certain parts or just kind of fill in some holes with certain things. And then here comes old Mikey trying to, find information on a movie, and I could misreport it, so who knows? But I like to think that everything I'm about to tell you guys is true, but take it with a grain of salt because I couldn't actually verify a lot of the information that I'm about to give you. Now, one of the main interviews that we had was from the special effects director of the film named Koichi Kawakita, and according to him, I'm going to go back in time a little bit and talk about like various stages of King Ghidorah during the Heisei era, because it is necessary to talk about how that led to this movie. But according to him, in an interview, they wanted to make a movie like completely centered on King Ghidorah in like the mid-90s. Like, because, he's just proven to be very, very popular, and they wanted to have it made, and he was going to be like the main kaiju that they focused on and all of that. But even before that, Rebirth of Mothra 3 ended up getting Ghidorah because in 1991, after Godzilla vs. King Ghidorah came out, Toho immediately wanted to do a follow-up film that I saw two different titles. One was called The Return of King Ghidorah, and one was called King Ghidorah's Counterattack, in which It was going to be a brand new King Ghidorah, not related to the one that Godzilla already faced off against in 1991. And it was going to be more true to his Showa era roots. Just, you know, an extraterrestrial that goes from planet to planet and just wrecking things and all that. You know, like it was going to be your traditional version of King Ghidorah. Well, whenever they were getting ready to do that film, they did a poll in Japan about who, like, what their favorite, like, kaiju were, their you know, their favorite Godzilla monsters and all of that stuff. And Mothra came out ahead and proved to be very, very popular with women. And so they wanted to try and capitalize on that, and they abandoned the concept of bringing Ghidorah back and instead went with Godzilla versus Mothra, The Battle for Earth. And so that film came and went. And then next, they thought about bringing King Ghidorah back again. And they threw out various little concepts of what they were going to do and all of that stuff. That project ended up becoming Godzilla versus Space Godzilla. So Ghidorah is in their mind. Like, they're wanting to use Ghidorah for something, but they keep swapping out different kaiju and all of that. Now, as far, you know, and then we got Des Ghidorah that was in the original Rebirth of Mothra, which is one of my favorite versions of King Ghidorah. And then we had an original kaiju that was done for the Rebirth of Mothra 2. Whenever Rebirth of Mothra 3 was beginning to gain traction and all that, originally they were going to go with an original kaiju, and it was going to be fire themed. Well, then they decided, no, we want to bring back a popular kaiju for Mothra to go up against, because the Rebirth of Mothra 2 didn't do super, super well in the box office, and so they felt that the reason for that was because Mothra went up against a new kaiju. So they wanted to bring back an old classic kaiju for Mothra to go up against. And they wanted to use a fire theme at first. And originally, they were going to use Rodan. So we very nearly got Mothra versus Rodan. You know, we did end up somewhat getting Mothra versus Rodan in 2019's Godzilla King of the Monsters. But we very nearly got a Toho-produced, like, Mothra versus Rodan. And I think that that would have been pretty cool. I would have liked to have seen that movie. But they decided to abandon Rodan because he doesn't have the star power of Ghidorah. He doesn't have the popularity of Ghidorah. They had been wanting to use Ghidorah since 1991, you know, so they said, ah, to heck with it. Let's go on ahead and use Ghidorah in this. And so this was going to be the only appearance that King Ghidorah has had in a movie, without Godzilla, making him the only kaiju to debut in a Godzilla film and then eventually star in another kaiju film without Godzilla. So that's pretty cool. Now, yes, Mothra has starred in films without Godzilla before, but keep in mind, I said Ghidorah is the only monster to debut in a Godzilla movie and then go on to be in a film without Godzilla. Mothra debuted in her own film just titled Mothra, so that's why she doesn't count in that particular statistic. Now, the suit actor that played Ghidorah in this film was, forgive me if I butcher his name, Tsutomu Kitagawa, and he played both versions of Ghidorah in the film. You have modern Ghidorah, as he's been dubbed, as well as Cretaceous Ghidorah. And I mentioned his name because, one, I just wanted to give him acting credit that he played Ghidorah, but also just to bring up that this guy is the dude that would go on to play Godzilla in the Millennium series. So he got a pretty big promotion going from King Ghidorah to Godzilla during the Millennium series. Now, as far as the suits go for Ghidorah, There were two separate suits that were made. There was one for the Cretaceous period, whenever Mothra goes back in time, and there was the modern Ghidorah, which is the more powerful version of Ghidorah in this film. So there were two suits that were made. The Cretaceous one wasn't quite as bright golden. He was more of like a brownish kind of color. And, you know, just a few more little details were changed. Like, he wasn't as buff. He was made to look younger. He was made to look not near as strong and all of that stuff. So that's the differences between the two suits. And the heads were controlled by piano wire, as well as Mr. Kitagawa, according to what I read. While he was in the suit, his arms would also be in the necks of the suits so that he could, like, move the necks as a whole, and then the piano wires would be able to, like, turn the heads and things like that while he was doing the acting. And there was one small prop of Ghidorah that was made, and that was made to handle, like, a lot of the flying scenes and flight battles and things like that. Now, as far as Mothra is concerned, we had two Rainbow Mothra props that were made. This is just a standard version of Mothra that we see throughout the vast majority of the film. And we get different versions of Mothra in this film. The Rainbow Mothra is pretty much the main version of Mothra that we see. And there were two props for that. Then we have Lightspeed Mothra. This is the version of Mothra whenever he's going back in time to the Cretaceous period. This one had no prop or anything. It was strictly done by CGI. So there was no prop or anything like that. Then he gets an even higher evolution by transforming into Armored Mothra. And that's the version that would eventually defeat King Ghidorah in this film. And so there was a prop made for that. And then I can't remember the name of the final version of Mothra, like when he evolves one more time. It was called like Celestial Mothra or something like that. But yeah, he transforms one more time after Armor Mothra and all that. And there was a prop made for that. Now, one of the Rainbow Mothra props actually caught on fire and was destroyed during production of the film. And it happened whenever Mothra goes back in time to the Cretaceous period and fights King Ghidorah after he drops him in the volcano, you know, and he's pretty much just laid up there. And you have the Cretaceous larva Mothras come and encase him in a cocoon. The stuff that they were spraying with it, there was some kind of chemical reaction from what I read that something didn't jive very well, and it ignited and caught fire, and they weren't able to put it out in time to save the prop. So the prop that they were using to spray the stuff on was destroyed. So they had to get rid of that one, bring in the other prop, and then refilm the cocoon sequence with that. So, unfortunately, guys, that's pretty much all the information that I've got on the Rebirth of Mothra 3. You know, like I said, there just wasn't a whole lot of information on it. This is one of those movies that is kind of like the Dimension films. You know, there isn't a whole lot of information out there about the production of like the Dimension movies and all that stuff. And so I'd been holding off on doing the Rebirth of Mothra 3 just simply because I knew it was going to be a difficult episode trying to scrounge together any information that I could find, and then it was going to end up being like a very short episode. So, you know, I'd just really been holding off on doing this one, but figured I'd go on ahead and knock it out and get it done. So that's what I decided to do today. So, all right, guys, that pretty much does it. I like the Rebirth of Mothra trilogy. If you haven't seen it yet, I highly recommend going to get it. The entire trilogy is available on Blu-ray, so you can just order that on off Amazon or eBay or something like that, and you'll have all three films. And, you know, they're very good movies. I really, really enjoy them. Like I said earlier, I hold the original one in a much higher regard than I do the other two, but the other two are pretty good as well. And I think if you haven't seen them yet, I think you would enjoy them as well. So, alrighty, guys, let's move on to what we're going to be doing later on in the week. Tomorrow, I'm going to be doing the third segment of my podcast, the very first one. I'm going to be covering that film that my listener slash friend Jason Cavanaugh recommended to me called Curse of the Undead, which is the first vampire Western film. So I'm not going to be doing like the full-blown, like how it was produced and all that kind of stuff. It's probably really just going to be a review more than anything. But yeah, I'm going to be talking about that tomorrow at the time of this recording. And then this Wednesday, I'm going to be doing the weekly Kaiju Havoc. I've got some pretty cool news to share with you guys, so I can't wait to get to that. And next Saturday, a week from today, it's been a while since I've done a real Kaiju episode, so I'm going to be venturing back into those waters and doing a real Kaiju segment. And the quote-unquote Kaiju that I've decided to cover is Mocha Dick. Now, I know exactly what you're thinking. What the heck is Mocha Dick? Did you just misspeak? Do you mean Moby Dick? No, I do not mean Moby Dick. I mean Mocha Dick. You guys know that Moby Dick is my favorite book of all time. I have numerous editions to the book itself. I own on DVD pretty much every single variation that's available on DVD, like different movies and miniseries and animated films and things like that of Moby Dick. And like I know a lot about the story and all of that. And they made a movie a few years ago starring Chris Hemsworth, called In the Heart of the Sea. And it is the event that inspired Herman Melville to write Moby Dick. There was a combination of things that really inspired him to write Moby Dick, but it was the tragedy of the whaling ship Essex that really like gave him the story that he was going to go with, as well as like combining that with his own whaling experience that he had whenever he worked on a whale ship for a number of years. But there was one other thing about the story that really inspired him to write Moby Dick, and that was that there was a real white sperm whale that was known for attacking ships and vessels and things like that. And like I said, it was white and all of that. And it was named Mocha Dick. And I'm going to explain where the names come from and how they used to name whales and things like that back then. But yeah, so if in case you didn't know, Moby Dick, the white whale that everyone knows so well, is based on an actual whale that existed named Mocha Dick. And I'm going to be talking about him a week from today. So, alrighty, guys, that pretty much does it. Check me out on all of my social medias. On Facebook, I'm Kaiju Carnage, a Godzilla slash King Kong podcast. I have a Godzilla Ultima fan page. And on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube, I am Cal the Kaiju Guy. So, all right, guys. Again, sorry the episode is late, and sorry, like as I've been speaking, I just kind of know that like I'm not, you know, I haven't, I didn't bring my A game for this episode. Like I've been getting my words like tongue twisted and all of that kind of stuff, and all of that, you know, it's been a very eventful week. So, yeah. Sorry, this episode couldn't have been better for you guys. I truly apologize. But alrighty, guys, tomorrow doing Curse of the Undead, Wednesday doing the weekly Kaiju Havoc, and then a week from today, I'm going to be covering the real whale, the inspiration for Moby Dick, known as Mocha Dick. So, alrighty, guys, we'll catch y'all next time. This is Cal the Kaiju Guy, signing out.